I'm the numbers guy, so I'll have to read my numbers. 9 minus 2 is 7. Good
Thank
job.
Thank you. Yes. This is why I went to law school, actually. This is why I did not go to medical school. Right.
I had to say that for Denny Sponsel's benefit, though.
Right. Right.
You mentioned that there will be no tax increase. However, that fails to appreciate that when you took over as the head of the Health and Hospital Corporation of Marion County, the HHC received a subsidy from the taxpayer of $88 million. In the budget that was approved last month, for this coming year, the taxpayers are going to contribute $108 million to your operating budget.
Those aren't property taxes.
They're taxes.
Right, those are not property taxes.
Understood, they're
right.
taxes.
Right.
So, and in the literature that you hand out, you say no tax increases, yet the HHC has received a $20 million increase from the taxpayers in the last few years. Given the tightening of budgets that everybody is having to go through in the state, wouldn't you agree that the HHC should not take more tax dollars as they have in the past, but maybe contribute something back to the taxpayers?
Well, we've done that, actually. Actually, our property taxes have gone down every year, or at least frozen since 2002. Now, that's a highly confusing the way our budget, but 2002 was the high water mark for Health and Hospital for property taxes. Every year since 2002, we have either frozen property taxes or lowered them, and actually they've been lowered relatively dramatically. Now, let me tell you, though, what we do with those property taxes. And I'd like to think that we get a pretty good deal with those property taxes. We use our local property taxes to leverage federal dollars. And you do that through the Medicaid money. But you have to have local dollars to bring in those federal dollars. And right now, that leveraging opportunity is for every $1 of local money, we can bring in $4 of federal money. And so if you were to lower our taxes by $1, we would actually be forfeiting $4 of federal money. And so it is both, there's a great upside for the return on investment of those local property taxes by allowing us to leverage that into federal funds, but also a huge deficit if you take those monies away. Now, the single biggest increase in those taxes are that you've seen there are ones that we didn't ask for, and that was the what's called the local option income tax, the LOIT tax. Okay, that was a tax that the General Assembly enacted, and then the City County Council acted. We had nothing to do with that whatsoever, and that's about $8 million of that, and that's just money that we get. But the bottom line is, Dr. Will, is that we are not seeking any new taxes whatsoever for this project. We're not seeking any property taxes, sale taxes, LOIT taxes, food and beverage taxes, hotel taxes, rental car taxes, Rotary Club taxes, Scottish Rite Cathedral taxes, you name it. We are not seeking any new taxes for this project. We can do it based upon the revenues that we generate as an organization. We generate over $800 million as an organization, and that distinguishes us from other entities that have built big projects in this community. So, for example, people I think are rightly concerned about the library, which had to have some new taxes, or Lucas Oil Stadium. Those are entities that do not generate the kinds of revenues that we generate. In fact, those entities, in order to meet their capital needs, had to do it 100% by some forms of taxes. That's not us. We generate revenues, and we can meet our capital needs based upon those revenues that we generate by providing services.
Now, anyone who's taken a drive around 465 when it's open or out into the suburbs has seen huge cranes attached to new hospital projects, Community North, Clarion North, St. Francis. As you planned this project, did Health and Hospital Corp engage in specific talks about options of sharing the indigent load? The STAR did a major investigative package within the last year, identifying several of the local hospitals that did very, very low levels of charity care, uncompensated care, yet received millions in tax breaks, both at the local, federal level, state level. Was there any talk about how to spread that around, that we probably already have many of the resources in place? Certainly Clarion has natural tie-ins with Wishard through the IU School of Medicine. Was every avenue pursued in this?
Sure, absolutely. No, we had very long, detailed, specific discussions with other hospital systems about whether we could meet this need in a more cost-effective, more prudent, and safer, higher-quality way than continuing to exist. And the results of those conversations were that Wishard providing services was absolutely the most cost-effective and prudent way to meet the healthcare needs of the community. Now, you are correct that there have been other hospitals engaged in good building in this community. We have fantastic hospitals in this community. Every hospital in this community is a terrific hospital. But underlying your question, Daniel, is the assumption that the other hospitals have the capacity to take our patients. And that is not remotely the case. We do have great hospitals, but those other hospitals couldn't possibly absorb the fact that our over 150,000 emergency department visits a year, our 1.2 million outpatient visits a year. We are one of only two level one trauma centers in the entire state of Indiana. There's not the trauma capacity in the city to take that. We are the only psychiatric emergency department, the only burn center. In other words, when you look at our patients, there is not anywhere near the kind of capacity for those other hospitals to absorb those patients. But perhaps even more importantly, there are highly practical considerations of why it doesn't make sense for patients to go up to St. Vincent's or St. Francis. Namely, if a patient sitting in Fountain Square wants to use Clarion North, it's an impossibility. That patient in Fountain Square has no way to get there. So in other words, even if Clarion North had capacity and begged and pleaded for that patient in Fountain Square to come up there, that patient does not have the ability to get there. In fact, we put all of our patients at Wishard on a GIS map and located the epicenter of those patients. And it turns out that the epicenter is where Wishard Hospital is today, the IUPUI campus. And so the fact that there may even be some limited capacity out on 86th Street or out on 116th Street or down in Southport, that does nothing to help the patients in the core of the city that have transportation concerns, that have job concerns, that have social circumstances that do not permit them to have the mobility or the time or the luxury of going to 86th Street or 116th Street.
You mentioned in your answer previously that you have plenty of revenue to cover these bonds. In the budget that was approved by the City-County Council last month, you had $200.2 million of revenue next year coming from intergovernmental sources. According to the CBO, the Congressional Budget Office, the current Senate health care bill that Senator Baucus is proposing, which is the leading bill, includes $404 billion of savings from cuts in Medicaid and Medicare. How can you be sure that those cuts won't impact the $200 million you get from intergovernmental sources?
Oh, I think that they will have an impact, but that's something we deal with every day. Every healthcare, every business deals with that every day, that you have some revenue sources that go down, other revenue sources go up, some revenues fluctuate one way, some fluctuate the other, and that's an environment that we have been dealing with for the entire history of Health and Hospital Corporation, Wishard, and we'll deal with that in the future. What we do know is that we have diversified our revenue sources, and so we are not overly dependent on any one revenue source. And so that ought to give us some great comfort. Secondly, what we know is that the type of hospital that we are, a safety net hospital that provides the majority of indigent care that's provided in Marion County, in the largest safety net hospital system in the state, one of the largest in the country, that when those cuts come for indigent patients, we are the last people to get those cuts. We're not the first people to get those cuts. And those are programs that exist so that public hospitals, safety net hospitals, can continue to stay alive. And so, first of all, those kinds of cuts that are in the Baucus bill will be phased in. In fact, they don't actually even start coming until about right now in that bill, 2017, and finally sort of phase in 2024. So sort of a long lead time. They have some triggers associated with them. Those triggers match that more people that are currently uninsured would get insurance. There'd be less of a need for some of those safety net payments. I mean, there's a whole series of specifics. But all that's to say is that we are prepared for the kinds of ordinary fluctuations that occur all the time with those funding sources, and we're going to be just fine.